Elissa Walker Campbell to deliver sports the way you want it. Big names, bold interviews. Beyond the X's and O's. Think big. The Big E Sports Show.
Elissa Walker Campbell, we want to welcome you back this weekend to the Big E Sports Show. As promised, we continue to deliver the biggest names in sports. And the next guy I am set to introduce is truly someone we know very well in the pro wrestling world. And we know him very well if you are an Oklahoma Sooner. Dr. Death, Steve Williams, of course, was a former All-American football player, wrestler for the Sooners. And from the amateur ranks, he went on to have a superstar career as a pro wrestler. Today he is with us to share his incredible story and how Dr. Death became Dr. Life, his survival of throat cancer. It is an inspiring story. You don't want to touch the dial. You want to hear this. We're going up close and personal with Steve Williams. Boomer Sooner, Steve, it's great to have you on the show.
Elissa, Boomer Sooner, how are you? The red and white.
Hey, that's right. I'm doing so much better after talking to you, and we've got so much ground to cover, and I got to be honest with all of our listeners. Man, when I was just, you know, following your career and chronicling and putting it all down, my hands started getting tired because you have experienced so much success at every level as an amateur athlete, as a professional, and I just got to ask you, I know that you're a good old Colorado boy. How in the world, or did you ever envision that you would go on to experience such a high level of success within sports?
Well, I'll tell you what, Alyssa, I gotta put it all over to God. I gotta give Him all the glory. I'm very blessed, I'll tell you. I've experienced everything an athlete dreams on doing. The only thing I probably didn't get to is the Olympics, but I was asked to go there. But then all of a sudden, USFL came upon and they asked me to join, and money flew up in my face, and I went from the U.S. Olympics where there was no money, and then I looked at the money they were offering me to sign, and I said, oh, I gotta jump, and I would have jumped right into USFL football. But I gotta tell you that I am really blessed. I really have accomplished a lot of things, and I give all the glory to God. It's been wonderful.
Well, Steve, I want to rewind a little bit because, as I just mentioned, you were a kid that grew up in the Rockies. You're a Colorado boy. And for many of our listeners, they may not know that, you know, you played football and you wrestled at Oklahoma. You had such a prolific career there. Just tell us a little bit about the reasoning why you chose OU, because you could have. You were such a talented high school athlete, a prep athlete. You could have gone virtually anywhere in the country, but you chose to team up with our good friend Barry Switzer and Stan Abel, the former wrestling coach at Oklahoma.
You want to go as an athlete, a young athlete, you want to go play with the best. And when I went to Oklahoma, you get about 6 trips on your recruiting trip. I already went down to Oklahoma for the summer camp they hold there for almost 3 years when I was in high school, because my coach, Pete Levine, from Lakewood High School, was a good friend of Gene O'Shaver, Coach O'Shaver, and Barry Switzer, and we ran the Wishbone. Well, we'd go down there every summer and go through the camp, and I went through already the recruiting trips. They were already highly on me. And I got to tell you, my older brother, Jeff Williams, who played with the Sooners and played fullback
line. That's right.
Tight end. My deal was, I was up in Colorado, God's country, gorgeous. And my deal was, man, I got to go to a place where I'm going to really enjoy the environment. And I already went down to the camps and stuff, Alicia, and I'd seen, it's a flat land, pretty odd, pretty humid. I didn't know about that, And then I went to the recruiting time, and I said, Jay, my brother Jeff, I said, hey, you think Coach Switzer would mind if I didn't take the recruiting trip and I went ahead and tried out maybe Hawaii or California, something where, the environment was beautiful? And my brother said, let me tell you, son, if you don't show up on your recruiting trip, they won't even recruit you. They won't even look at you. So I said, right then, I said, I'm there. So I went on that recruiting trip, and after I, again, went to Barry Switzer's office and stripped that hand with all the beautiful gold rings and seen all the records and the chance that I could be on that national champion team. I didn't take too many more trips after that. I went ahead and signed, and I'm so blessed that I I played for Barry Switzer. I tell you, he's a coach. I mean, a player's coach. He's a fantastic guy.
Well, he certainly is. He's charismatic. He's fun. He's smart. And truly, I regard as one of the greatest college coaches of all time. But I'm kind of
curious. I didn't even say pro, babe.
There you go.
You know what? Look at him, man. Was a Super Bowl champ there, right?
That's right. Those Dallas Cowboys, of course.
Come on. Then they got rid of him. What was the deal about that? But I won't go into there.
Well, we're all scratching our head about that with Jerry Jones, right? Hey, Steve Williams along with us right here on the Big E Sports Show. You know, it's kind of interesting, Steve, as you were talking about your decision to come to Oklahoma. Of course, so much tradition there, playing for a legendary coach like Barry Switzer. But how sweet was that? The fact that your brother, you know, he was already in Oklahoma and spending his time there in Norman. I mean, that had to help you a little bit with not getting homesick, right?
Well, yeah, it was great that I had family already down there. And I'll tell you what, you know, when Coach Switzer came to my house, you know, my mom and dad loved him. I mean, most parents do love Barry when they come to the house. I'll tell you what, they would just really enjoy being around him. And, you know, my mom and dad said, boy, you both go down there. We'll be at most of the games and my wrestling matches. I don't think my dad missed a national championship wrestling match. He was there every NCAA. So, you know, that was the pick. It was great. And there, I didn't get homesick. I enjoyed the whole time I was there. I was there for 5 years. I got redshirted when I was a freshman. I got that great deal. That was sweet.
And you certainly, Steve, had the best of both worlds. Here we highlight and talk about your time playing football alongside your brother, Jeff. But you know what? Let's talk about wrestling. I mean, you had a chance to play for such a terrific coach in Stan Abel. Of course, I remember him well during my days at Oklahoma. We love Stan and his contributions to the sport of wrestling there. What was it like to have the opportunity to be with him?
Well, listen, look at the two great coaches in wrestling and football. And I'll tell you what, Stan is a fantastic guy. He was like a father to me out there, and we got along so well. I mean, look at the team we had. We had Mark Schultz, Dave Schultz, Andre Metzger. We should have won the NCAAs, but we got a little bit cocky for ourselves, I believe, at that last year, my senior year. You know, but we had the greatest team around. Stan, I got to tell you, having Stan and Barry Switzer, you can't beat that. They were fantastic, and I'll tell you, there's so many stories in my book about playing for OU and the great times. Boy, I'm thinking about it right now. That wow, and how blessed I was to be on that campus, and what a great dorm we had. The jock dorm, man. I mean, beautiful place, and look at the stadium. Now I go back and listen, I said, wow, what a stadium now, man. This is what a place to play. I mean, great, great time.
A lot of tradition, and I'm going to assume, because I lived in the Jefferson House during my time at Oklahoma when we had the athletic dorms, but they obviously phased that out. But what you guys stayed in the Jones dorms, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, we stayed in the first class, you know. I mean, it's gorgeous. So. Well, I stayed at Bud Wilkinson's. I stayed right there in the football, in the middle one, you know, and that... That was great. I mean, it was fantastic. What a great time.
Steve Williams with us. We know him well in Oklahoma. We also know him. Dr. Death, the legendary pro wrestler, had a huge career. One of the reasons we've invited him on is we want you to take time to talk a little bit about your book, How Dr. Death Became Dr. Life. I want to give you the opportunity to share with all of our listeners where they can go get a copy of this book, because we've got a lot more ground to cover, but we want to share your life story. Steve, tell everybody where they can go to get a copy of this great read.
Well, let me tell you, first of all, if you'd like to get one, we just set up a deal, PayPal, with my website, and that's oakstampede.com, and you can order it right off my website. You can get it through there, or you can get it through sportspublishing.com or Barnes & Noble. It's out in the bookstores now.
How Dr. Death Became Dr. Life. And here just momentarily, we were talking about some of the terrific coaches you had the chance to play for at Oklahoma. As you were saying, Stan Abel, of course, the former wrestling coach, was like a father figure to you. But let's hear a little bit about some of your teammates. I mean, you had a chance to, on the gridiron, to be alongside J.C. Watts. I mean, what a guy. I mean, you talk about a gifted leader. And then, of course, the terrific running back in Billy Sims.
You know, it was the greatest thing is probably about 3 months ago, I did this the grand opening of Billy's barbecue spot up in Edmond.
I hear it's good.
Oh, finger licking good, baby. Let me tell you. Yeah, it was great. Billy is a first class guy. I gotta tell you, you know, when he said Billy, you know what? I really have been blessed. I tell you, I give God a high five every day that I wake up and I get to walk down the road and just think about all the good times. You know, I played with Billy Sims, J.C. Watts, Kenny King. I even played with the USFL New Jersey General with Herschel Walker and Doug Flutie. I mean, look at the talent that I played with. I mean, unbelievable. But yeah, I played with some great athletes. Man, I got to rub elbows with Steve Owens. He wasn't playing that time. But man, I mean, all the alumni that I got to deal with nowadays, I mean, wow. It is unbelievable. What a history, you know what I mean?
Steve Owens, the 69 Heisman Trophy winner, and Billy Sims, in 78, winning the Heisman Trophy. Got to ask you, talking about playing with so many terrific guys, what are some of the most memorable moments that you had on the gridiron?
Well, I got to tell you, and it might make you guys a little upset there in Texas, but every time when we went out there to play Texas, Oklahoma, I mean, that was a highlight, babe. I got to tell you, I remember when I was out in the middle of the field and I was had the horns bent down to the ground and I was having the Oklahoma fans just singing the song, you know, down with orange, you know, and up with the red. And it was those days to play Texas at the Cotton Bowl was unbelievable. I mean, wow. I mean, sometimes you couldn't even hear yourself think because all you could hear is them cowbells and how loud the Texan fans could get. I mean, That was probably the highlights of my career is playing OU Texas.
Steve Williams with us right here on the Big E Sports Show. Of course, his moniker is Dr. Death. The legendary pro wrestler had a huge career at Oklahoma. And I'm going to ask you just an obvious question. I know someone's tuning in and they're going, how did he get the name Dr. Death? Why don't you share the story for us?
Well, let me tell you, that's pretty easy one to tell you is that in amateur wrestling, when I was in high school, I tore up the mat. I was a 3-time state champion, and when I wrestled my opponent, I do this called like a Japanese wizard, where it was like a throw, and when I threw it, I did it so hard where the guy's arm would hit me right in the nose, and after a while, my nose got shattered about 20 times, and every time my nose would bleed, they'd have to stop the match, and it got ridiculous, and so finally, a coach from another school gave me an old-time goalie hockey mask. Now, you can imagine, here's a kid who weighs probably about 280 in high school, putting on a doggone goalie hockey mask with the headgear of an amateur and walking out there to wrestle. Now, that scared the kids. And matter of fact, the first time I walked out there with it, my assistant coach yelled out, "There's Dr. Death," and since then, people like yourself, newspapers, magazines, news anchormen, everybody just picked it up. And I ran with it. I wasn't one of these guys, unless you're that was just handed like a Stone Cold Steve Austin or a Rock or, you know, the Kane or the Undertaker. I got this name of beating up people on the amateur mat.
And I want to just ask you, of course, going from amateur wrestling, you landed on the pro wrestling scene and tour, and that's where you just took off to superstardom, so recognized internationally, so successful over in Japan. Did you envision that you always wanted to go into this, and how did this gig come together?
I never even thought I was going to be a pro wrestler. I always thought I was going to be a pro football player. I was going to tear up the doggone field and Cowboy Bill Watts, another OU football player who owned Mid-South Wrestling back then, came up to me and was a good friend of Stan Abel's and asked me, "Hey, let me back this up, okay? See, when I got redshirted for football, I had 5 years of football left, okay? And I had 4 years of wrestling, so I had one more year of football left, and I finished my wrestling career. Well, I was able to go into the pro ranks my senior year in football as a pro wrestler, I was eligible. It wouldn't hurt my status with football. So Bill Watts came up to me and said, "Hey, Dr. Death, how about trying out pro wrestling?" I went, "What? Pro wrestling?" He said, "Yeah, why don't you come out here and try this out and see what you think?" And I said, "Well, I don't know." And, you know, I thought about it because my summer times, all I did was train. I did two of the toughest sports you could do with football and wrestling. And I never worked and made money, and so all I did was really, I worked my tail off to be the best of the best, you know. And so I said, let's go ahead and try it. So I went out, and I worked just the weekends, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and back Monday. And I made some money there. And it wasn't bad money, and I got to travel and see some of the places, and I said, "Man, this ain't a bad deal." And I done beat up a few people like Bob Roop, King Kong Bundy, some of the tough guys in the business, Bob Sweet Dan. I mean, these guys were tough cookies, you know. And so I went back. This is great. You'll love this story. I went back to the football field getting ready for my last year of football. Now, all the Oklahoma people remember, the Big 8 has a big conference of all the reporters that goes checks out all the Big 8 stars.
Oh, yeah.
And so they came to Oklahoma. Now, you got to imagine, now, Dr. Death was a hit. I already been a pro wrestler. Now, this was something for the reporters to grab on and swing with it and just tell everybody about it. Well, they came to me. And, you know, everybody's back then says, wrestling's fake. Yeah, wrestling's fake. Well, you know what? This guy here was pretty beat up, man. And I would, and first question when all the, there was probably about 15 reporters around me the first time. Guy goes, "Hey, Mr. Williams, Dr. Death, you got to tell us the real story. Is wrestling fake?" Boy, I got upset. Because my body was sore from working that whole summer, those 3 months. My body was beat up, and I'll tell you, my ribs alone had bruises all over from hitting the ropes of the wrestling ring. I pulled up my shirt, and I said, "Let me tell you guys something. If y'all think it's fake, look at these bruises. I mean, I had probably about 42 bruises on each side before I was hitting them ropes." I said, "Oh, yeah, God, I'm tough, guys. Let's see how many bruises I got out there." And, boy, they started counting them up, and I'll tell you what, I guarantee them guys realize that wrestling ain't fake. It's the real deal when you get out there fighting for money.
You're listening to the life story of Steve Williams, Dr. Death, the legendary pro wrestler. Of course, had a huge career at Oklahoma in football and wrestling. And, of course, we're highlighting, talking about his new book, How Dr. Death Became Dr. Life. We're going to talk about how he is a cancer survivor here momentarily. Just another quick question I did want to ask you about college. You know, being a multi-sport athlete and being in two of the toughest sports, football and wrestling, I mean, you're one tough guy. How were you able to manage all of that and then keep up things academically?
Well, let me tell you that my main idea was I had to get something out of this. I was going to go for 5 years at college. You know, I got a degree in health and education, and that was tough. I'll tell you, I really had to buckle down. But my idea is that if I showed up to class and I tried, at least tried and showed my respect for the teachers and tried my best in between training and traveling and everything, I was going to give it my best, even if I didn't get it all, you know what I'm saying,
back then.
And the teachers understood what I was doing, and I'll tell you what, I just had to buckle down. I had to tell myself today, I'm getting 5 years here, let's not waste it. So I went out and tackled it. Now, no, don't get me wrong. I'm no doctor or lawyer. You know, and I didn't go into the major degree as a petroleum land management out of Oklahoma, but at least I got some papers.
One-on-one with Steve Williams on the Big E Sports Show, and I am your host, Elissa Walker-Campbell. And, you know, we're running out of time, Steve, but, of course, your life changed dramatically in September of 2003. You were diagnosed with cancer, and I just got to ask you, I mean, how did you find out, and how did you deal with it?
Well, I'll tell you what. Since you're telling me I just got a little bit of time, I'm going to let everybody know that you want to read a devastating story, How to Beat Cancer. And I truly am a walking miracle, and there is a God. There truly is a God. I am a testimony, and now I'm so blessed that I'm getting out there telling people about our Lord, and he's in the healing business. And you know what? Like the good old saying, you can do anything through Christ. And I'll tell you, in September of 2003, I was struck with a golf ball sized tumor in the side of my neck.
Mm.
Scared to death. I was in Japan getting ready to fight for Pride Wrestling in front of 100,000 people. My daughter Stormy called me up, let me know that I had cancer. I got knocked out in 23 seconds. First time I've ever been knocked out, because I didn't even, my game plan went right out the window. So I came back, drove down to MD Anderson in Houston. They told me that they were going to cut it out. And I said, whoa, come on, let's figure something else out. I decided to go ahead and do 36 rounds of radiation, 3 rounds of chemo. They got it, but it was the most aggressive cancer you could get. It's a T4. It went down into my vocal cords, so they had to cut my head off, literally cut my head off, took my vocal cords, my thyroid, and my nerve, my deltoid. I died 3 times out of this situation, but God has another plan for me, and I know that. I'll just tell you one incident, and then I'm going to let you all get the book and check it out, because it's a heck of a testimony and a heck of a book. I believe, and I first day that after the operation, I had 3 months at MD Anderson, and I couldn't talk. Barry Switzer came, gave me a second breath of air. I came home. The first night I slept in my house by myself. I couldn't talk to nobody. Fell asleep 4 o'clock in the morning. I woke up, blood everywhere. Blood all over my neck, my face. And, I was bleeding to death. I literally looked in the mirror. I didn't know what to do. But just get on my hands and knees and start praying. Asking God to give me my life, that I have a little boy, 14, Wyndham, that I wanted to be a daddy for. I've got a daughter, 26, Stormy, 3 grandkids. I wiped the blood off. I plugged it up. It was called a fistula. There's a hole in my stomach from my skin being so thin from the radiation. I didn't know what to do. I was scared to death. And I just kept talking to God and praying to God. And I don't want to die. I don't want to die, God. I want to be a daddy. I got everything cleaned up. I got in my truck. Well, first of all, I didn't want to go to the emergency room here in Shreveport, Louisiana. Nobody knew anything about this operation, what they've done to me. They don't know, you know. I got in my truck, drove 4.5 hours down to Houston at 100 miles an hour. Couldn't talk. All I could do was pray to God, talk to God. I had a cell phone, and I had a code on there to talk to my brother. A yes was one beep, two beeps was a no, and he kept asking me questions while I was calling him, and he realized that I was driving down there. Well, so I got there, went in the emergency room. The doctors looked at me, and he said, "You should be dead. You've lost so much blood. We don't know how you got here." And I kept shaking my head and pointing to the sky. I knew how I got here. God has a plan for Steve Williams, Dr. Life. They told me that I was going to go in for a 10-hour operation. They were going to cut my head off again, take 2.5 feet of muscle off my thigh, and plug up the hole. Before I went under, I was holding my brother's hands and embracing with each other and crying. They finally brought the jungle juice to me that knocks you out. I went under for 10 hours, 2 days. But before I went under, a pastor came by, a lady, and I asked her, I said, would you please, I wrote this down, I said, please, could we all say the Lord's Prayer out loud? And at that time, that's the last thing I remember, is we said the Lord's Prayer. I woke up 2 days later, and I was blessed. God gave me my life back.
It was a couple weeks ago we had the legendary broadcaster Pat Summerall on our program, and of course he's a recovered alcoholic, had a liver transplant a few years back, and you know, one of the questions I asked him is, he was so close to death in himself, and why do you think God gave you a reprieve, a second chance at life? And I want to ask you that, Steve, you know, why do you think God gave you a second chance, and what are you doing with that second chance that he has given you?
Well, I'm not going to tell you right now, I understand why God gave me that second chance. First of all, I got to tell you know the old story about the footprints in the sand? Well, I understand it real well now. God's been carrying me for years. I mean, years and years. Well, now he's got my attention. And I'll tell you, now I know where I'm going with this, that I want to tell people how gracious God is, that he is in the healing business. A little short story, Valentine's Day, I put on a show at my church, First Assembly, Denny Duron's my pastor. 400 kids showed up, I had 5 matches, I was the main event. After I done beat up the guy, Oklahoma Stampede him, I got out there. Now there's 400 kids around the ring. I did my testimony. After I got done, I asked the kids if they'd like to give their life over to Christ, and it was very easy. All they would have to do is come up to the ring and use it for an altar call. They came up. 20 of them came up. I prayed over them. They gave their life over to Christ that night over wrestling. Can you believe it? The wrestling was a tool to get people to give their life over to Christ. And so, after that, I took them up above and in a room and got their names and phone numbers. And I was like a magnet. They wanted to feel me, touch me, hug me, and all I could do is love on them. And these kids were from the gutter, the crack city, the ghetto. And let me tell you, I didn't go to bed until 4 o'clock that next morning because I was such blessed. I was in such a high, the best drug I ever had in my life, best alcohol drink I ever had, best woman I ever had. That night was the most wonderful thing I ever had in my life. And I tell you what, it just showed me that I will get out here and tell people that they're just a gracious God, and there really is a God, and it's so easy to give your life over to God. And then he'll take you places that you'll never imagine. To sum this all up, last night, I took my son to church. And you know what? Them 20 boys were at church. They couldn't wait until they came out to my car, and I got out of my car, and they just loved all over me.
That is awesome.
Now, I'm going to tell you, that old saying you just asked me, what am I doing about all this? Well, I'm a warrior now. I'm taking this to the top. I want people to understand that there's nothing better. Yeah, you could sit there and roll up a joint, do cocaine, crack, heroin, you name it, alcohol, fast cars, fast women. But there ain't nothing like having God as your father, as your everything, as he is mine. Because I'll tell you what, Alyssa, I don't know how I did it and how I made it all these years without him. And I really do know the story about the sand, footprints in the sand.
It's so neat to listen to how, you know, God has really lit a fire underneath you. And there's an old song in church that once you drink of the living water, you will never be the same again. And Steve, you can you can hear that in your voice. And Steve, we just want to wish you God's best. And you have just a terrific platform and a new mission in life. And we're going to be following you very closely. So all our love to our Boomer Sooner guy, Steve Williams, Dr. Death. The title of his book is How Dr. Death Became Dr. Life. And it is a book that will empower you and set you free.
I got to tell you one last thing is that how I know how God is blessing me. You can imagine going through this cancer survival, and it was the toughest opponent I ever fought. For 3 years, I didn't work. what would 3 years without working financially do to you? Well, it did it to me. It about took everything I had. And of May of 14th, I turned 46, and my phone has not stopped ringing. I've been in the ring 15 matches, done a cage match. I've been in and out of churches. I did my show for Assembly of God, and you wouldn't believe how blessed I was the next day. A pastor from a church out of Keithfield, Louisiana, called me. They're having a convention. Matter of fact, tax day. I loved it when he called me. He says it's April 15th, tax day, and I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to do my taxes. And it was a blessing. He says, we're having 9 churches. We want you to be the guest speaker. I'll tell you what, that's how gracious God is.
And after today, there's always a tomorrow, and he gives you a sense of hope. That is great. Steve, thank you. We are flat out of time, but we appreciate you so much coming on, and we'll try to catch up with you a little bit later after you get done with all these book signings. Okay, Steve?
Thank you, honey. You all have a great day and a blessed one.
Steve.
Remember, there is a God.
Thank you so much. Boomer Sooner, Steve.
Boomer Sooner.
Much more straight ahead on the Big E Sports Show. Stay with us.